Well, it is wonderful to be here this morning, and happy birthday to Dolores. She is 95 years old today, and so what a wonderful milestone, and you are such a blessing and such a great inspiration to us all here, Dolores, so God bless you. I was thinking that 5 years from now, we're going to be celebrating your 100th, and we need to go all out for that one when that happens. So, anyway, we're glad to have Bill and Carol back. Carol's not feeling well, sorry about that. And Matt and Melissa, glad to have you guys back from your trip. And I know that was a long drive, and getting to fly back home was nice. So we're glad Abby is at school there. And it's wonderful to have John Bellamy with us this morning. John had a fall, and been recovering from that. So it's great to see you, John. We're glad you're here. It's great to have Chad and Emily with us. They're making that long drive from down in Tacoma. So it's really a blessing to have everyone here that comes together on the first day of the week as we gather to worship God. We're going to read this morning from Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 20, down through verse 25. So if you have your Bible open, I will invite you to follow along there in Romans chapter 1. He said, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Truth has never been so assaulted, denied, hated, and suppressed as it is today here in our country. And throughout our world, much the same thing is happening in many places. At the same time, we live in the information age and a time of mass communication, advanced technology, yet it seems that more and more people are less informed about and more confused about what is true than ever before. And I believe that it starts right here with what Paul is talking about, the rejecting of the one true God. And when you do that, Paul is saying, you begin to see a deterioration of your society. You see a deterioration within your own soul happening, and in your life, it begins to go in a downward spiral once we reject the true and living God. The Apostle Paul here is pointing out something very important that happened here in the first century and in the world that he lived in, but it's also happening in our world today. He said that God gave them up to uncleanness who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. One thing that is evident in that statement is that these people that he's referring to had the truth, because you can't exchange the truth of God if you don't first have it. If I exchange something this morning with one of you, I take it out of my pocket and I said, I'll trade you this for what you have. I have to first have that myself. So he's saying that these people, they exchange the truth of God for the lie. And instead of worshiping the Creator, they began to worship the creature. And that was a choice that was made by those people. And he goes on to show then what were the consequences that followed that choice and that exchange that they made. Now, it's interesting that in both of these cases, he uses the definite article. He says, the truth of God and the lie. So there is something that he has in mind here, that these people, they had the truth of God. And what I believe he is referring to with the truth of God is God's truth for mankind that goes back to the creation in the book of Genesis, where God created the heavens and the earth. And God showed man from the beginning that man and God need a relationship with each other, that man is dependent upon God, man is created by God, man is not to be independent of God. So the truth of God is God's presence, his creation, his love for mankind, his desire to enter into a relation, and the fact that man cannot exist independent of God. That is a myth. That is a falsehood to even think that man can exist without God, because God sustains our lives. And secondly, though, the lie. They exchange the truth of God for the lie. And I believe that that lie that he's referring to is the lie of Satan. That Satan came to man and he said, you don't need God, you can be your own God, in effect. So it is the lie that man can be independent of God, self-sufficient, self-directing, and self-fulfilling. So in Paul's day, a choice was made on a wide scale, he says, that affected that society very deeply and affected the lives of those people that were involved in that decision. Today, what we are seeing is a very similar thing there, where people today, instead of subscribing to the truth of God, are choosing our own truth. And on a personal level, I want to have my truth and you want to have your truth. And as a result of that, we are doing what was done there. We are exchanging the truth of God for the lie. That truth is not objective. Truth is not something real that we have the option to just change it arbitrarily anytime we want to. Now, there's a word that I'm going to choose to use in this lesson, delusion. Changing the truth of God for the delusion. And it is that concept that we can exist and we can find fulfillment in our lives. We don't need God. We can launch out on our own and do better than we can by following the will of God. A delusion is something false that is believed or propagated that persists despite the facts. So that is a delusion. That is not reality. When a person chooses to live in an alternate reality of their life, they are really rejecting reason and reality, and therefore living in a delusion. And in order for people today to sustain that in their lives, they have to reject truth. They have to act as though truth does not exist. So truth, on the other hand, is conformity to fact or reality. And as we know it to be, as there is a evidence to support and verify the reality of truth and the veracity of truth, there is a way of our lives coming into order, and that is on the basis of truth. Now, as he says, these people once knew the truth, but they created an alternate reality for their lives. In that case, it was to worship the creature rather than the creator. And he points out that they even worship the four-footed creatures, the reptiles and whatever there were, that they were choosing to worship instead of God. Now, one thing that we can say about that is, why would a person choose to worship insects and bugs rather than worship the true and living God? And I think the answer is, there's no moral accountability. Once we worship an alternate deity that we create in our mind, we don't have any moral responsibility. We can choose to live however we want to live. And that is the same thing that is happening in our world today. I would suggest that people today, when it comes to the natural world that we live in, we accept the reality of objective truth. For example, a pilot in an airplane, he wants reality. He wants truth. And if you're sitting in the back of the airplane, you want to have objective truth also. When it comes to building, construction, we rely upon objective reality and objective truth. So in many areas of our life, what people are doing, I believe, is splitting truth and reality. On the one hand, we have the natural world that we live in, but on the other hand, it's my own world, my own life, and so people are choosing to say, I want to not live by the moral truth and law of God in my life. I want to select my own way to live and to have the truth of who I want to be, or how I feel. And so there is a delusion to believe that here in our life, everything that we live by is based on objective reality. We don't choose our own reality that, oh, I can go out here and jump off the building and that's my reality. I will not fall to the ground. We know that that's not going to happen. We're governed by natural laws. And the result of that is that when we choose to violate those, there's an immediate consequence. But when it comes to choosing how we live, we can take some comfort in the fact that I can choose to reject the moral laws of God and nothing's going to immediately happen to me. And so people believe that that's why I can choose my own truth for my life. We live today in a post-truth world, it's being called. I don't know if you've heard that term, but post-truth, in the year 2016, this was in the Oxford Dictionary selected. It was the word of the year, the new word of the year, post-truth. Now, what it means is denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than the appeal to emotion and personal belief. So people want to live their lives, it's saying, based on their feelings, based on their emotions, not on objective reality. And as I say, it is a dichotomy because we recognize that we have to live by natural laws that govern our world. If we violate natural law, there's an immediate consequence. And so we don't attempt to go against the laws of nature. We refer to them many times as the laws of nature. They're really the laws of God that are built into the creation that He created. But on the other hand, we do live under this delusion. We can create our own alternate world. And if I choose, I can violate the moral laws of God and I won't see any immediate results. Well, this is saying here in the book of Romans, what the Apostle Paul, I think, is very interesting that he is saying that these people had the truth of God, but they exchanged it for the lie. If we go back up a few verses here to verse 18, we can go back to verse 16, and he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." So the reality that God makes known to us is that each one of us is lost and we need a Savior in Jesus Christ. Christ has given His life for us and we need the redemption of forgiveness of sins that we can have. And that comes through the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But when he comes down here to verse 18, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Again, people who choose to live in sin suppress the truth of God in their life because they are violating that. And they're in their own conscience, it bears witness. As he talks about in Romans chapter 2, that there written in the law, the heart of the conscience of man is how we ought to live to a certain moral standard. And when we violate that, he is saying here, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And he goes on to show here that the evidence of God is contained and manifested in the world that we live in here. Now, God has made his creation known to mankind through the creation itself. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The fact that God created the universe is self-evident as we look at the creation. His power, His divine nature, His attributes are can be seen that there is a creator here who created this universe. But he's also pointing out that God does hold man accountable to the moral law as well. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness who suppress the truth. So this idea that we can live in the natural world and respect those laws, but we can totally ignore the moral laws of God and suffer no consequences, it is a delusion also in itself. Now, we may not find that the result is immediate like we would. Like I say, if I go up on a tall building and jump off, I'm going to see the consequences of that immediately. But if I choose to live a lifestyle that God teaches me is against His will, I may not see that result immediately, but make no mistake, the wrath of God and His displeasure is revealed, and the day is going to come that I will still need to must stand before God and give an account for my life. So the truth of God is revealed to us in the Scripture. When we talk about the creation, that is what is known as natural revelation. And natural revelation attests the creation of God and His power, but it does not manifest His will to us. That will, that revelation comes to us through Scripture. So God has revealed to man through Scripture and through the gospel His plan of salvation and His characteristics and His way of life that He desires for us to live. And that has been revealed to us also, not in the creation, but in the words of Scripture. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now also in Revelation 1 and verse 18, Jesus said, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and of Hades." So Jesus Christ, we're told, is an eternal being. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is past, present, and future, the same. And therefore, He is the way and the truth and the life. And when it comes to our salvation, Jesus Christ is the only truth that we have. We cannot create an other, our own truth as far as salvation is concerned. The question that we all need to consider, I believe, especially living in the mixed up world that we're living in today, is, are there fixed standards of right and wrong that apply to everyone at all places and all times? And I believe the answer is yes, and they are revealed to us in the Word of God. As we live our lives as Christians, we believe that the Bible is that standard, the source of truth, and we view the world as Christians through that point of view. As we believe in God, that He has revealed His truth to us in the pages of Scripture, we develop our worldview based upon that. And when a person here rejects the truth of God and they create their own truth in their mind of who they believe they are and how they want to live their life, that is their worldview. They are adopting a worldview that is opposed to the worldview that we are able to have as we submit our lives to God through His Word. And that is where we are getting the confusion that we have in the world today. There are lies that are being spread and multiplied, and Satan is the source of those lies. God warns us against lies that have been there to deceive us from the beginning of time, since Satan came into the garden and he deceived Eve. The Bible says that Satan is a liar, and he was a liar from the beginning. So lies have been a part of our life here on earth from the beginning of time. But as we look at our world today, many lies are being put out before us. And there are many people who, I hate to say this, I'm sad to say that so many people are being deceived by many of the lies. Even Christians and even churches are being deceived and falling into some of the lies that are being spread. For example, it begins with the creation. To reject the creation account of the Bible and to subscribe to evolution thinking. In our view of how did the universe come into being, or what is there a God that created the universe, yes or no? So many are rejecting that, and it's being taught in our schools. Then we see the sexual revolution following in line with that. Of course, we can go back a few years to the beginning of the sexual revolution. I can remember when that was starting back in the 60s and 70s, if we want to place a time frame around it. But we had the hippies and many other people, and they were the sexual freedom, the sexual revolution was taking place. And it was in all of the music and the, you know, the flowers of the all the way of life of that, living out of the burnout Volkswagen buses. I mean, not taking a bath, and it was a whole way of life that was rejecting order, especially God's order for our life. It was a revolution that was taking place. But then we came to the lies about the value of human life itself, and the legalization of abortion to take the life of the unborn child in the womb of the mother. That was a battle, and that has been an ongoing battle now for many years. And of course, the Bible says God created us, man and woman, in His own image. Therefore, there is an inherent value of life that needs to be protected and preserved in the womb of the mother, as well as the life of people. But then we came to the attack on marriage and the family. And in the year 2015, the Supreme Court, of course, the Obergefell, there was the decision of same-sex marriage now cannot be denied in any state of the United States. And last year, we had a decision that seemed to challenge some of those rulings, so that now abortion is under the framework of the states, not the federal government. But now we are seeing the attack of the questioning of gender roles, even to the point of little children, 6 years old, being encouraged to select a different gender than their own, either a boy or a girl. They are being encouraged in their schools, and even some of their parents are falling in line to encourage them that they need to pursue who they feel they are rather than the reality that they were biologically created in a certain gender that was given to them from the beginning. So there are many lies that are being told in our world today, and sadly many people are following these lies. As the lies begin to be spread, then there is a whole group of people that is lining up behind these, so that when a person announces the fact that they are having a gender dysphoria, or they are having a gender transformation in their life, there is a whole group of people now to accept them and commend them and applaud them in that decision. And that is making it more and more difficult for people to see the lies that are being spread. And if we don't speak up, quite honestly, here in the pulpit on these issues, my concern is that more and more Christians are going to cave and fall in line with the thinking because of the pressure of society that is coming down. So truth is being redefined. And there's nothing more serious happening, in my opinion, in our world today than the redefining of truth itself. Because in all of our major areas of life, truth is being redefined. Businesses are now promoting the LGBTQ agenda, and schools are putting out even pornographic literature for children to be able to view to encourage them in this gender transformation or confusion. The media is all behind this. The left-wing mainstream media are promoting all of these things, liberalism and socialism and all of these other things that are going with this, where the truth of God is being rejected on a whole scale level throughout our society. The entertainment industry is all behind it. Our culture is being transformed. And our own government today is now buying into all of this because they have the equity and diversion. What are the three tiled words that go with this? Diversity, inclusion, equity. This is governing almost everything that is happening in our society today. And churches, many churches, sadly, are caving in to the pressures that are being applied in these areas. So we've gotten to the point now in our society where evil is being called good. Evil is being called good. And that was happening in Isaiah's day, in Isaiah chapter 5. He said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people." So what we find is that when people reject the law of God and choose an alternate truth for themselves, the next step is that they call evil good and they condemn the truth being spoken. They do not want to hear the truth of God because that reminds them of the choices that they have made that are going against the will of God. So here in Romans 1:24, "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves." Paul is showing the consequences that follow that decision. And first of all, he's showing that God allows people to make those choices and to suffer the consequences that go with it. When they rejected God, then they began to worship the creature instead of the Creator. God gave them up to uncleanness. So what followed was they began to live in the lusts of their flesh and dishonor their bodies among themselves. But then he goes on to say, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due." When people have rejected God, there is going to be a consequence of an explosion of homosexuality is going to follow that, the Bible says. And we have seen the truth of that happening in our society because those moral standards are taken down. The moral standards are taken down and people begin to pursue the lusts of the flesh, and the natural progression leads to that point to reject the natural relationship that God made between man and woman, and a marriage relationship that is healthy and produces a family, instead to live for the self and to reject all of that and to turn instead to the vile passions of same-sex relationships, both men and women. But then he also says in verse 28 that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And the result of that, as he continues in the next few verses, is social conflicts, social crimes, hatred, malice, children rejecting their parents, parents not loving their children, and those things follow as a result of the rejection of God. What Paul is pointing out is that God allows people to choose the kind of lifestyle they will live. And God is a merciful God, as the Bible teaches. God doesn't pour down His wrath upon us as a society or as an individual instantly, although He could. But there is going to be a day of judgment, and it's revealed in the Bible. God, His wrath is there, and when that time comes, God will hold us accountable. But the truth of God is unchanging. In John 8:31, Jesus said to those who believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And then He went on to say, they answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." When we reject the laws of God, then, and the truth of God, and the truth of Christ, it goes without saying that the result is going to be a life of sin that a person is choosing instead. And the consequences of that are going to be harmful to that person. But the truth of God is not going to be changed. God's word is eternal, and God's word must be defended. We find even in the Old Testament in Psalm 25 in verse 4, the psalmist said, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths, lead me in your truth, and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old." It's beautiful to see that God's word and His law are all given for our good, to show us a way of life that is a blessing to each of us. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. So God's word is eternal, and God's word must be defended. We must stand up for God's truth. We must not be silent as these things are happening here in our world today. And there is only one truth that God recognizes when it comes to man's ultimate need of salvation. In 1 Timothy 2:3-4, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Which one is more logical? Which one is more truthful? To believe that God, in His power, created the world in which we live, and that He is ruling over His universe, and that He has given information in the creation to confirm the scripture. There is archaeology. There is the record of history that confirms many details in God's word. there is fulfilled prophecy that can prove the reliability of God's word. And there are the eyewitnesses who saw Jesus when he was raised from the dead. So God's word, the Bible, is the most widespread published and read book in all the world. It is always the number one bestseller. Jesus said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I believe that when we unpin ourselves from truth, that we're like floating in the ocean without any rudder. That we are in a world of chaos that has been let loose upon us, and it is not going to end well if we continue on that path. But we can still make the choice, each one of us individually, to choose to live by Scripture and by God's Word. Even though many today are rejecting that, it is such an important responsibility that rests upon us to be those people in our society that continue to hold firmly to the principles of truth that are found in the Word of God. We each have a choice then that we must make in life. We can see that the universe points to the creation of God, but God's Word provides us with His plan of salvation. It provides us with His truth for our lives that we need to choose to live by those. And when we don't, there is going to be a consequence that happens in our life. And you'll see this in the life of people you know. When they once walked in the law of God in their life, but they make that decision to exchange that for a lie, you're going to see in their lives what Paul is saying, that it's going to be a downward pattern that's going to happen in that life as they get further and further from God. That's why they need you and I to take the gospel and to present that to them in the love of Christ in a way that can help them to see they need Jesus Christ. They need a relationship with God in their lives. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song this morning. If there are any here today that are in need of the gospel, in need of responding to the gospel this morning, we invite you to come while we stand together and while we sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home,
calling today,
calling today.
Oh, from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam.